It's time for Viewmaster on 95BFM.
Hi, Sam, did you enjoy the Christmas party?
I did enjoy the Christmas party. I loved the Nando's. That was really a highlight. It was really, really good. I actually had to leave a little bit early. I had another Christmas party, but that's just, tis the season, you know, there's so many Christmas parties.
La 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 and all that, and definitely bang your drum, rubber pump pump.
Well, speaking of drums,
classic segue.
Thank you. Wasn't it?
Nope,
that was so good. I watched The Little Drummer Girl this week.
Good. Now, did you watch the whole series?
No.
Okay.
I have to apologize. I was in the sun all day yesterday. I'm very burnt, and I was watching it, and I got a bit into episode two, and I just passed out at about 9 p.m., which is very unlike me. So sorry, guys, I didn't watch the whole thing, but the first episode's great, and I'm going to talk to you about that. It follows Charlie Ross, who is a British actress, and she basically gets recruited into this like spy drama where she has to basically insert herself into a terrorist cell and investigate a bombing in Germany.
She has to become an undercover agent because they choose her because she's sort of like a not very well, like hardly well known, sort of theatre actress, and
she's kind of like really into the whole revolutionary politics stuff and like quite smart about it, but like. Is she really into it, or is she just interested in it because it's like trendy and stuff?
Mm. Set when?
1980 something, 83, I think I read.
Yeah, it's amazing. The stylistically amazing that way.
Very, very beautiful. Like, and you've also got Michael Shannon in there playing Kurtz, who's like the mastermind behind the whole plot to like get inside the terrorist cell. He's like a quote he says in the first episode. He says, "I'm the director, the producer of this whole show." And I'm like, oh, okay, this is cool. Like, this guy is quirky and weird and, like, kind of just off the wall. And then also Alex Skarsgård, everyone loves the Skarsgårds. They're hot property right now. He plays Becker, who's, like, this, like, stoic and silent type. You don't really know much about in the first episode.
Which is quite cool character to watch him play someone who doesn't talk a lot.
Yeah.
I think he's an amazing actor.
Like, really.
He's a hunk. Obviously, he's a hunk, you know, but hey.
But
I think he's a great actor as well.
Yeah, and I loved the tension in the first episode between Charlie and Becker. Like, their weird, like, stubbornness to refuse to talk to each other and, like, how she plays off her sexual attraction to him is really, really interesting. And, like, she's clearly beautiful and he's clearly beautiful. And they kind of just have this like,
but there's a job to be done, and you know, no one really knows in the whole thing who they can trust and all that sort of thing.
Well, it blurs the line between what you know and what you don't know, because it opens on this really cool scene of her like doing a screen test, which you find out later on is actually just takes place further on in the show, and like the first scene is really, really cool with this isn't a spoiler.
Check it out.
The first 3 minutes, not a spoiler. Yeah. Basically, there's a bombing in Germany, and the father, the owner of the house that gets bombed, he's like out in the street looking at, like talking to someone, and he looks over his shoulder and he sees this woman just like smiling at him from the back of a car, and I'm like, ooh, why is she smiling? This is so like creepy and weird, and like it's a really cool scene where you see the clock's like ticking and counting down and the house explodes, and it's really quite cool. And the final,
with all of his children in there, and I was just, ooh,
yeah, really sad. And then the final scene as well, where Becca kidnaps Charlie, is really, really cool. Where he's like driving and he's just like speeding, and you're like, how'd this happen? Because they kind of like go on this like whirlwind romance. You're like, what is this?
Or is it even a romance? This is the thing, you know, is this part of the illusion?
Yeah.
It's 6 episodes, is it right?
Yeah. And I'm really excited. I'm going to keep watching it. Like, I was really enjoying it last night, and I was like really hyped on the cliffhanger of the first episode. But then I just, you know, the sun kind of got to me, and I had to pass out.
It's hard. It's a season, it's like.
But yes, very, very cool. And I've also prepared for you guys my top 5 TV shows of 2018.
Oh, fantastic news!
I haven't covered all of these.
Ooh.
I haven't covered all of these on Viewmaster yet this year. So these might shock you and surprise you. But basically,
I'm just prepared to be shocked and surprised.
The first one I've got is The End of the Fucking World, which released.
Oh, I've seen it. It's amazing.
Amazing show. Released on BBC last year in December, but got on Netflix on just January 5th, so it still counts as a 2018 TV show to me.
Yep.
Most interesting characters I've seen on TV, I think, this year, the two, like the murderous teenager and the wild child girl that form a relationship and run away from home.
This wasn't the Graham Coxon from Blur did all the music for.
Yeah. And it's just a really cool, off-the-wall, short series that kind of, like, wraps up really nicely. I don't know if there's going to be a season 2. And it was just, like, a really cool introduction to TV this year, I think. Because I watched it, like, straight away.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is a good year for TV. And it kind of was. Second is Queer Eye. Now, we don't do reality shows on this show, but Queer Eye...
Is that your rule?
I don't know. I just haven't done them. I don't think they're like worth reviewing.
Because most of them are utter shit. That's why.
Yeah, you hate them. And also, they don't really have much in the way of like, you can't review them.
Content.
It's the same kind of format. Yeah. But Queer Eye really like revamped the original series, which I watched with my mum when I was like 11. And like, just tell some really cool stories and like focuses on some really cool arcs with their character, well, with their cast.
In what way? Because I haven't seen the new series of it.
So basically, like, they take like really ordinary guys and like make them over and stuff, but instead
Josh
of
them up,
yep. But instead of just judging them up, they like really teach them like self confidence and like teach them like life skills and like tries to get to the root of their problems and see why they don't look after themselves or are unkempt or like whatever, or like just make sure they feel better within themselves instead of just like outwardly looking better.
It's extremely emotional.
Yeah, I cry at most episodes.
Like, really? Very emotional.
The first episode of season one and the first episode of season two. They in season two they make over this woman named Tammy, and she like so she's a woman, but she also like they redo her community hall for her church and stuff, and they just do lots of good community work and stuff. It's really like more heartwarming and less vapid than the other ones.
Yeah.
And it's also the first time I've seen a Muslim gay man be represented on TV, which is quite a cool thing for 2018. Cool.
And I've seen one of the team.
Yeah, yeah. Tan France. And all the cast are really, really smart, and they're all out there doing really good things for the community as well. So
it's cool that they've they have looked at it and changed it up.
Yeah.
DNA, that's really, and that it's not just like the same old shit over and over and over and over, and another season of this, and you know, that's really cool.
And it's like Black Lives Matter and stuff as well. Like, it focuses on all these different things and like politics and stuff. It's a really good time for the show to be around, I think, which is why I really enjoy it. Then also I've got The Haunting of Hill House. I think The Haunting of Hill House was one of the best shows.
I feel triggered when I think about that.
I mean,
very stressful to watch.
I loved it. I mean,
it's very scary.
I loved it because it's like the story about a family dealing with grief, but underpinned by this really scary house, and it's just terrifying, but also like a beautifully written show and beautifully acted and some amazing shots and stuff. So really, really
Did
cool.
Did you struggle to sleep afterwards?
Yeah, yeah. Remember, I left the lights on.
Really? Really? Left the lights on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I binged it all in one day and I couldn't sleep the night.
Do ghosts not like lights?
That's the rule, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
At least you can see the ghosts,
there goes
you know?
My safety net.
And then also got
Yeah, it's really unsettled you there,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it did. You didn't finish it, did you? I didn't finish it. It was scary.
I love it.
I might go back.
That's
to
weird
it.
Because there's a girl on the last episode that looks just like you.
Don't go down that road, please. That's very scary.
You're actually triggered. Jesus.
It was scary. Anyway, okay.
Number four. I've got The Good Doctor. So this is an ABC show about an autistic man becoming a surgeon. And like, it could have been a really basic premise, but it actually, and it's like also one of those like, what's wrong with this person this week kind of dramas where it's like, we've got
like
to
House figure, sort of thing. Yeah,
House,
yeah,
like, House. Yeah, like figure out the weird disease of the week. But I cry all the episodes, and it's like really got really well-rounded characters, and it's all really emotional, and they all actually work really well together, and it tells really cool stories. And the cliffhanger.
Where's it set?
It's just set in America, just in a regular hospital.
I think television has taught us there are no regular hospitals in
America. That's true. But he's like a resident surgeon, like learning, and they're all like trying to. It's very Scrubsy as well. Like they're all trying to get to become surgeons
like
and
House?
Stuff. Yes, House, Scrubs. It's all the all of those ones that kind of regular with an autistic guy in the mix. But I've never cried at one like that before, so I really liked it.
My flatmate's actually watching it at the moment, and I haven't seen much of her over the last few days.
I think you should. I think all my weeping
with joy in a room.
Just addicted.
Well, all my friends when they watch it are obsessed, so I think it's like, it shouldn't be as good as it is. Like it kind of like shocked me by how good it was, and I was like, okay, this is sick. I'm into this. And number five is Sharp Objects, starring Amy Adams.
Oh yeah, yep. I watched that on the plane. Actually, it was on the plane. I loved it
up till the last episode.
Yeah.
I think reading the book, I may be a bit biased because I loved the book and I loved seeing the book unfold so faithfully on the TV screen. But I imagine if you'd watched it for the first time and you didn't try to figure out the mystery, you just watched it unfold, it would have been a treat to watch.
How can you not try and figure out the mystery, though? Straight from the very first moment you're trying to figure out the mystery.
Did you not like the ending or did you just...
I predicted it.
I think the
and
twist...
And you wanted to be surprised.
I thought they telegraphed it a little bit too much, but maybe that's just the story, and maybe they've just been true to the story, and they just had a lot of potential, I suppose. I don't know.
I think the final twist was pretty good.
I thought it was quite good.
The last 5-minute twist was I liked it. I like it. I mean, it's nice to have a story.
I think there were such deep characters there though can we spoil it?
No, don't spoil it.
Yeah, you can't spoil it. It's not been out.
Hold on, I'll just turn the mic down for a second.
Let me do it. doing this.
No, I'm not going to say it on here.
But that was fun. Anyway, but Amy Adams' best performance of probably her life, maybe. Also, like...
do you know how I found really unsettling in that show was the dad... The record husband,
record
fan dad. That was pretty weird.
He was just like watching and like not really doing anything
just
about anything.
Powerless.
I know, it was so weird. Such good characters. Yep. Watch that show. So yeah, those are my top five of the.
Great top five. Thank you.
I thought long and hard.
And thank you very much for being part of the show this year. We really appreciate it, and we look forward to if you will you join us again next year.
I think I'm.
He's gonna do it. He's gonna do it.
Yeah, I've got no reason not to.
Okay, cool. Hey, thanks. Have a great Christmas and New Year's and all sort of stuff.
I will be so drunk.
See you when you're ready. There's no prize, but okay then.
Bye, guys.
That was Viewmaster on 95BFM.
BFM.
Hello, Bea. I am just wanting to know that you had an amazing song that played about 22:09.
Uh-huh.
And yep. It was like, I'm pretty sure it was African.
Yes, I can tell you what that song was.
Yes.
That was Energy featuring Nadim Din-Gabisi.
Wow, amazing.
And the artist was Sampa the Great, S-A-M-P-A.
The great.
Yep.
Energy. Okay. Thank you, Mikey.
Thank you, Tala. Hello, what can we do for you?
I'm calling about the Anderson Paak.
Yes. Do you have a Simplicity B card?
Yes, I do.
Man, you haven't won anything in the last 7 days?
Nope.
All right. Well, I'll put you through to Tess, and she will just double check your CV there, and just make sure that everything's all right. Thank you very much. Thanks. Congratulations! You're going to go and see Anderson .Paak. Hooray!
Awesome. Thank you.
What's your name?
Catherine.
Catherine's going to Anderson .Paak, Tess, I think. I'm giving you the wrong thing. You want that, don't you? There you go.
So I had money, and now I've got records.
Had all these like shitty portraits of the Queen. Took them into Flying Out, and they gave me all this music for them. Music.
This stuff, money. Apparently, give it to a nice person in a shop, and they give you whole albums of music.
You've got money. Flying Out's got music.
Vinyl, CDs, tapes, turntables, merch, and more.
Perfect for Christmas.
Exchange your currency for tangible goods at Flying Out.
80 Pitt Street or flyingout.co.nz.
Say goodbye to environmentally unfriendly, unrecyclable espresso pods and say hello to sustainable coffee with Cara Joe's Coffee Co. Biopods. Made from plant-based plastics, Cara Joe's Biopods are 100% compostable, 30% cheaper, and fully Nespresso machine compatible. They're delicious from the first sip to the last and available at your local supermarket. Biopods from Cara Joe's Coffee Co. Coffee with a conscience. Go to carajoes.co.nz.
95 BFM presents Conan Moccasin, an exclusive screening of his absurdist drama, Boston and Dobson, and music from the acclaimed Jazz Busters and Conan Moccasin.
I could have stitched in time.
After a string of sold-out international shows, this surreal multimedia experience in Auckland's sumptuous Civic Theatre is an event not to be missed. Conan Moccasin, Boston and Dobson, and Jazz Busters Live, March 29th at the Civic Theatre. Tickets on sale Thursday from Ticketmaster.
Life's too short for bad selectors, so improve your musical background with From the Crate. Every Thursday on BFM Breakfast, we'll treat you to a few pieces of delicious wax from Southbound Records. From the Crate, 9:15 every Thursday morning on BFM Breakfast with me, Troy. Thanks to Southbound Records, the largest range of new vinyl in New Zealand at 132 Simon Street and online.
Met a lady called Annette.
That's right. If you'd like to choose the final song of the show, text into 5395 your suggestion, the artist and the name of the song, and your Simplicity B-card number and your name. And if we choose your song, we'll play it at the end of the show this morning, and we'll also put it on the Spotify BFM Breakfast page playlist, and you go in the draw for a Yui Boom wireless Bluetooth speaker from Orcon. How exciting. You know how that works. Your thoughts, please, your suggestions, do it now. 5395, Kelly.
BFM News.
Ata Maria, good morning. Ko Kelly Enright, tōku ingoa ko te iwa karaka. It's 9 o'clock. New Zealand's largest fault line is being investigated by United States scientists over three scientific voyages this summer. The Hikurangi subduction zone extends along the length of the east coast of the North Island and is potentially the largest source of earthquake and tsunami hazard in New Zealand. Leader of the voyage, Dr. Samir Ned, says his team are looking at how seawater affects the severity of earthquakes. Instruments to record electromagnetic waves transmitted at the seafloor will be deployed at 168 sites to construct an image of fluids below the seafloor. According to Ned, the more we learn, the better we can inform the engineers and scientists who think about what happens on land and hazards for communities. The northern end of Hikurangi is experiencing slow slips and silent earthquakes, and scientists believe it is due to these fluids. Rocket Lab successfully launched its first ever mission for NASA on Sunday. The mission, known as the Educational Launch of Nanosatellites, launched 13 satellites into orbit. Mission manager Justin Treptow says the satellites represent a large variety of scientific objectives and technology demonstrations. Rocket Lab aims to remove barriers to commercial space by providing frequent launches. A new date has been set for when UK MPs will vote on their country's Brexit deal. The vote was originally proposed to happen last week, but UK Prime Minister Theresa May postponed the date after admitting she was set to lose. May says the EU have made it clear the Irish backstop is not a plot to trap the UK and urged MPs to follow Brexit through. Opposition leader Jeremy Corbyn says it is unacceptable MPs have to wait another month before having their say, and says he will be tabling a motion of no confidence. If UK and European parliaments approve the deal, it will come into force on March 29th of next year. And finally, two Hungarian lawmakers have been thrown out of the state television building after attempting to read a petition against the new Labour laws. Prime Minister Viktor Orbán's new policies have been coined slave laws. They allow companies to demand up to 400 hours of overtime a year and delay payment for it for 3 years. Lawyer at the Hungarian Civil Liberties Union, Daniel Dobrenti, says that lawmakers being thrown out using physical force is unlawful and unjustified. The ejection of the lawmakers comes a day after police used tear gas against pro-democracy protesters in Budapest. And that's the news.
A 95 BFM weather update.
Anenga tohu horere mo tēnei rā. It's fine and mostly sunny today with southwesterly breezes. A high of 27 degrees and an overnight low of 17 degrees. Sunset will be at 8:37. Your outlook for the week, Wednesday rā upper, mostly fine with some cloud, then overnight rain developing and westerlies. Thursday rā pare, rain and showers with thunder possible and nor westerlies. And Friday rā mere, mostly fine with long sunny periods but chance of a shower and westerlies. That's your weather.
That was a 95 BFM weather update. Thanks to climate change.
It's the 95 BFM surf report. Thanks to ProGear Professional Photographics.
Ki ngā ahutanga o Tangaroa I tēnei rā, your surf report for today, ki te tai rā whiti on the east coast, 1 foot with a light southwest breeze. Taitimu low tide is at 10 past 10 and Taipare high tide is at 20 past 4 and it's a 6 out of 10 there. Ki te tai Hauuru on the west coast, 2 to 3 foot with gentle southwest winds. Taipare high tide is at 6:40 and Taitimu low tide is at 12:50. Your outlook for the week, the east coast has waves tomorrow and Thursday and maybe Friday as well with a gentle northwest breeze. The west coast has 2 to 3 foot with moderate westerly dropping off Friday afternoon and into the weekend. That was your news, weather and surf for this morning. Thanks to Sherry and Izzy for the news. Ko Kelly Enright, tōku ingoa, and it is 2 past 9.
Hey, thank you very much, Kelly, and thanks to the news team, and have a very Merry Christmas.
Merry Kiri,
and for your hard work this year, thank you.
Ladies.
To celebrate that, on the line we've got a well-known electronic superstar, John Hopkins. Hello, John, are you there?
I am here. How are you doing?
Hi, John. Hey, nice of you to talk to us this morning. John Hopkins is going to be part of the St. Jerome's Laneway Festival 2019 at Albert Park on the 28th of January. How exciting to have you coming, John. We're looking forward to your atmosphere that you're going to bring to the occasion.
Yeah, it's always amazing to come to Auckland. It'd be my third visit, I think. And, every time it's been an amazing show.
Yeah, you must. You are a legend, and rightfully so, when it comes to electronic music. And tell me, I'm trying to think of the best way to put this. Techno music has sort of been forgotten in a wee bit, I think, of late. And I don't think we should underestimate just how important techno is and was and will be to this phenomenon that dance music has become. About techno that makes it so goddamn emotional?
That's a good question. I mean, it's quite a broad term, really. There's many different forms, and really I don't know what exactly defines it. I think I don't classify myself as techno exactly, but I...
But you do know techno.
I absolutely do know it and do love it, and there's something about it, for me... it's that kind of tribal element, you know, that idea of the repeating kick drum. There's something that you can get lost in over time. And I like to incorporate that in my stuff and try and build a sort of more emotional experience around it, because traditional techno is not so much about that as it is about, you know, just extreme minimalism and tribal movement. But yeah, I like to kind of bring in a narrative and a musical story around that basic framework, I think.
Do you think there needs to be a bit more attention put on people like yourself who are putting that much effort into creating a new sound and like say a new audio environment amongst all the dross that does sort of get thrown out there as well? It's a hard one to answer, I suppose, isn't it? But yeah, you can be honest though with us.
Well, if I was to argue that I thought I deserved a lot more attention, I'm not sure how that would come across. But I've chosen to make an underground form of music, and I've been making records for 17 years now. And you know, in that time, I've made music in various different genres, and it's nice. Right now, people seem to be enjoying what I'm doing, and it gives me this amazing privilege of travelling the world and coming to visit wonderful countries like yours to play.
When you made your first record, did you even have any sort of idea that 17 years down the track you would be onto you'd be making a fifth record and you would be touring around the world? And by, can I just say, a tour around the world and a whole lot of shows that on your press release, you've got a massive big list of shows and every single one of them sold out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's been incredible. And to be honest, no, I didn't. I mean, I was actually 19 and 20 when I did my first record, and at that point, in my naivety, I didn't really know there was even such a thing as a live electronic musician. You know, I knew you could record albums, but it was really only just a few years ago that Orbital had shown the world that you could do this thing live, and it would be interesting enough for people. They found ways of doing it, and then all the Warp Records guys were suddenly like breaking down these barriers that I'd hardly even been familiar with that stuff. You know, I was just making ambient stuff, and the idea, it wasn't really on my radar, this concept of performing this stuff live, because you know, what I was writing back then wasn't even appropriate for that. And over the years, I've just gradually got more and more into this idea of music that inspires movement, and you know, then it's a natural step really to want to provide that or transmit that for people, know, in person. And then you bring in all these other elements like visuals and lasers and all the sort of crazy stuff we do now, and it becomes hopefully a show.
When you sort of envisaged your first, when you got the bug for that and you started to sort of concept to what you wanted people to see when they came to see you play, what were the things that you wanted to tick off straight from the start, things that you thought, when I do it, I want to do it like this?
Yeah, I mean, I have a big focus on visuals in my whole album campaigns generally, so we always try and make really strong videos. So I work with directors that I really admire, and then for the live show I just feel like that should be translated, so we get even more stuff made and a lot of stuff that my visual guy can